This is Melissa Bartell, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub.
It's day 19 of the Dog Days of Podcasting, and this piece is a little bit longer than I usually do. It's another monologue that I wrote during 28 plays later back in February. The character in this piece is named Kelly, and she's a composite character based on interviews and conversations I had with several of my friends, actually, who are not being named out of respect for their anonymity and privacy, but they're all real people. And our task was to turn the interviews of several people into one person's monologue about an important issue in their life and then present it as if we were talking to a group of teenagers. The name of it is Womanhood. So here's the thing. I was always a worrier. I worried that my grades weren't good enough, that I wasn't as pretty as the other girls, that I couldn't run as fast as the boys when we played tag at recess. I worried I wasn't smart enough. I also worried I was too smart. As I got older, I started worrying about other things, like why didn't my chest look like the women in all the anime I was watching? Was there something wrong with me that I wasn't all proud and perky? And was there something wrong with me that I didn't see why I had to stop going topless outside when half my pictures, up to a certain age, were of me in a hat and a diaper, or sometimes just a hat? Every so often, the worry would start to overwhelm me, and I'd shut down, hiding in my room, listening to angry music, avoiding people. Eventually, someone would check on me, remind me to breathe, encourage me to eat. Mostly, it was my mother. When I was young, she was my support system. You don't mind if I take my shoes off, do you? Good. Oh, that's so much better. So anyway, when I was 12, I got my first period. Now, for some girls, for some young women, that event is a milestone to be celebrated. The mythical crossing from child to woman. For me, it was horrible. Not just the pain from cramps, not just the mess of a heavy flow, but there was this nagging feeling that something was wrong, that my body was not supposed to be doing this or behaving this way. My mother told me it was just something I had to adjust to. I knew, of course, that her time of the month came with a lot of pain also, but I hadn't realized how much. That was one of the last times I felt like she was truly on my side. Years went by. I got older. My friends began to pair off. Most of the girls were into guys, and okay, I was into guys. I mean, to a point, but I realized that most of the time when I thought about being with a guy, the concept of sex made me really uncomfortable. And sometimes, rarely, when I fantasized about being with a guy, I was a guy too. I didn't know where that came from. Was it normal? Was I trans? I didn't know anyone I could ask, but I knew the word lesbian didn't fit me. I wasn't then, and I'm not now, attracted to other girls or women, but the word gay wasn't really accurate either. By the time I was 17, my parents were in the middle of a divorce, and worries had morphed into full-blown anxiety. I was struggling in school, turning into both a perfectionist and a procrastinator at once. I broke up with my boyfriend. I had panic attacks whenever I had to make any but the easiest decisions. I'd always loved music and theater, so I tried to lose myself in that. Pretending to be other people gave me a way to figure out who I was and who I wasn't. And it also gave me a constructive way to burn off the energy that anxiety caused. On stage, even in our tiny community theater, I was the newsboy, or the lady-in-waiting, or the firebird, or the brat, or whatever. At the beginning of my last semester of my senior year of high school, I finally broke. I would go to school in a dress and something would shift in my head in the middle of the day. I'd see my reflection in the glass window of a classroom door and think, I'm in the wrong clothes. I'm not supposed to have breasts. But then there would be other days when I would go to school with no makeup and a t-shirt that was baggy enough to hide my breasts and in jeans I'd stolen from my brother, and I'd feel really good until I'd catch some other guy staring at my chest. I was confused. I felt alone, isolated, broken. I couldn't function. I asked for help, and it came in the form of Prozac. I was worried at first. I mean, I'd heard antidepressants can stifle your creativity, but while that may be true for some people, it wasn't true for me. With my moods evened out, I could focus on my real work, figuring out why I felt like a guy some of the time and the girl I biologically was at other times. College is often described as a time of experimentation. You taste different disciplines, different classes. You reinvent yourself, decide that incarnation was wrong, and reinvent yourself again. You try out different relationships. Maybe you're mostly straight, but you kiss someone the same gender as you party. Maybe you sleep with the wrong people. I did a lot of intellectual experimentation, but I didn't sleep with many people. Actually, I didn't sleep with any people. Even though there was a guy I really liked, I just couldn't get past the idea that sex was squicky. In desperation, I did what so many other young people do. I turned to the internet. Now, we all know that the net is a series of rabbit holes, and some suck you in further than others. Sometimes you don't find anything useful, but sometimes you hit gold. In an LGBTQ+ forum, I saw a word I'd never heard of before. Bi-gender. I also learned about terms like dysphoria, and specifically gender dysphoria. That knowledge was the second click moment of my entire life. Look, I'm not a label. No one is. But having words for what I was experiencing meant that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't somehow wrong, that I'm just wired differently from what most people consider to be normal. Now, not everyone has the same experience with everything. I might love dark chocolate while you only like milk. Lemon yellow may seem like a horrible color to you, but I might want it painted all over my walls. The same is true of my anxiety. And the same is true of my gender dysphoria. And the same is true of labels. See, the thing is, labels aren't meant to divide us. They're meant to be communication tools. They're the ways we express who and what we are so that we can talk to others and find solidarity and commonality. Well, that's what we hope will happen. Look, I can't tell you if you're gay or straight or cis or trans or something else or none of those. I can't advise you on which path is best for you. I can tell you that even when you have a label, you aren't stuck in a cookie cutter existence. Everyone's experience is completely unique. For me, being bi-gender means that most of the time, well, recently, I'm on the trans-masculine end of the gender spectrum. I dress in clothes that make my gender less obvious, and certain kinds of clothing, like anything that defines my waistline, feels like a costume at best and horribly uncomfortable and wrong at worst. On my most masculine days, I even bind my breasts so my chest looks flatter. But there are days when I lean more feminine. I wear long dresses and leave my hair loose. I wear makeup. I actually really enjoy experimenting with makeup. Every time I consider having top surgery, and I've considered it a lot, I remember that I have girl days in between the guy days and decide against it. And when I can't cope, when even Prozac isn't enough, I'm very fortunate that I have friends to distract me with jokes and music. I have people who will listen to me talk about everything from geeky fandom things to art and philosophy. And, of course, there's always the theater. The ultimate house of come as you aren't or come as you wish you were. And speaking of witches. Speaking of wishes. Here's my wish for you. May you learn your own label. May you embrace it without ever letting it own you. Because while labels help us talk about things, you are not your label. You're just you.
Opening and closing music is a mix of Chris Zabriskie's The Oceans Continue to Rise from the Free Music Archive and a clip of whales singing off the coast of French Polynesia provided by Kivoy to freesound.com. The Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub, is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. For detailed show notes, including my contact information, please visit my website at bathtubmermaid.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.